So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, guys. It's our big Wrestling Society X debut night show, however you want to put it.
What did you just say?
I don't know, Les.
Here we are in the frozen. Can't say frozen north or the frozen Arctic. It's frozen Midwest.
Are you getting snow out there?
No. Well, we had some snow flurries this morning. I won't go into the whole thing. I go to the gym in the morning before you go to bed.
Right.
It was flurrying a little bit when I got to the gym just about 6 o'clock. When I came out about 7:30, it was, there was a dusting on the ground, but there's nothing out here now.
So we really haven't gotten too much. We're getting pretty lucky.
I'd heard you hadn't gotten too much, but then I didn't know.
I think,
that was your personality that, oh, never mind. We're talking about two different things.
It's my warm, sunny disposition.
Okay.
That keeps...
Whatever, but I know this. I got my thermo sweatshirt out to go out tomorrow morning at about 5:20 when I head for the gym. I know that.
Amen.
It's supposed to be about single digits here tomorrow morning. So.
Amen. Tonight, as our guest, we have indie superstar, and maybe we'll see him in the WWE. I don't know. Ace Steel is going to be on the program tonight.
Yes, and the vice president of Big Vision Entertainment and the man behind... Wrestling Society X, Kevin Kleinrock.
Yes, he's going to come on and give us the last dirt before the show actually is supposed to debut.
But you know, from what I saw it Friday, I'll pretend like I didn't. But then I guess it ran several times over the weekend too.
Right.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, like I said, you know,
it hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet because I did not want to watch it on Friday. I wasn't even around anyway, but I didn't want to watch
you
it.
You weren't around, huh? Okay.
I wanted to watch it when most of the country would see it.
Okay.
And make my decision there. And I also didn't want to get Kevin on and make it a review, you know,
okay.
of the first
right.
episode.
I've been put in my place, and I'll...
No.
I don't know. I didn't, you know, something flashed before my eyes for 20, you know, anyway. And James Gutman's on with us for Hot Topic, right?
Absolutely. James Gutman's going to be with us from... World Wrestling Insanity.
Next week, we've got, you know, I've got the book ordered. It's not here yet, but I got it ordered. D'Lo Brown next week, and Cody Michaels from Wrestling Society X, who's helping run things backstage. And Lizzie Valentine told us last week that he doesn't like women in wrestling. I'll have to brace him about that. I've known Cody for a long time. He's a personal friend.
And he hates women?
Well, no, he didn't say hate. I hope not. His wife would be very upset if that were the case.
That would be true. Yes.
His daughter might even be upset if in the case that he hated women.
True.
Anyway, and then somewhere and down the line, we're going to have Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle on. I'm going to be in Mobile. Mama and I head out of here the last day of February, which is Wednesday. And then Thursday, March the 1st, I'm doing an evening seminar at Gulf South Training Center, which is Percy's promotion and school in Mobile.
Excellent.
We're going to be down there for the Gulf Coast Wrestling, the annual reunion, which is always the first weekend in March. So.
Oh, and Les, I have picked up a new side job today.
Okay, I'm afraid to ask what that is.
It's No, I'm going to be ring announcing this summer again.
For what?
Or at least trying to. There's a promotion opening in southern Indiana. It's called Southern Indiana Pro Wrestling.
Oh, well, that's original.
Right, and I am going to be the official ring announcer.
The independents needed it. I just said that today. The independents need another promotion.
That's right.
Out of 4,981, and that's only in your state, they had another one.
And they also need a little bit more Doc Young on the indies.
Well, yes. Just as long as they don't let you get the show started on time and do the booking.
You're never going to let me go over that.
Right? Well, no, of course not.
It was my first show, Les.
Your virgin run. Right?
It was exactly.
Yeah, well, okay.
I need some
on a somber note, Doug Gentry passed away.
Yes, very, very shocking.
I met him. I only met Doug once, talked to him on the phone a couple times. Seemed like a real nice guy, and from all reports, obviously he was. And not unlike Bigelow, actually, 10 years younger than Bigelow, 34 years old.
34, yes.
Man, that's a bummer. I mean, I don't say it anyway.
Absolutely. For those who don't know, Doug Gentry is the guy who took over the Ring of Honor.
Basically, a guy caught in the crossfire.
Exactly. He was one of the main people behind the promotion when it first started, along with Rob Feinstein and Gabe Sapolsky.
Yeah, and
After the Rob Feinstein scandal.
Yeah, and then he was just, before the illness and everything, was working with Rob back at RF Video.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess those guys went to school together, from what I understand.
Yeah, they were childhood buddies.
Yeah.
So, it's a sad time for the family and the friends, and we do send out our condolences.
Yes, we do. On a positive note, I wouldn't say this, props to Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, the last 8-10 minutes, whatever it was, of Rumble. If you, any independent wrestlers are listening, or anyone would actually like to learn this business the proper way, it was good. You know, I mean, they false finishes, they kept you on edge, down to the wire.
The whole nine. It saved the pay-per-view.
And I think with Cena and Umaga, probably the best match I've ever seen either one of them in. Umaga was here with me for a year with Brosie. John, of course, was right down the road in OVW and worked some shows for me here too. But, I thought that match had suspense. It was, it's what a professional wrestling match is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the Hardys and Eminem had a good opener. And that was pretty much the show, I think.
Yeah, that was about it.
it wasn't, but that was that did it for us. Raw, I don't know. Raw was okay. I honestly, when the money started falling from the ceiling, had switched over to Studio 60 on Sunset Strip, which I enjoy. So I'm sure the main event was good because Michaels and Cena and Edge and Orton, it should have been a decent main event. I did not watch it.
I saw part of it.
Yeah.
I was also switching.
They obviously aren't sure what they're going to do with Cena at WrestleMania. That was a conclusion I drew last night.
Right.
And
I don't think they will make a decision for at least another month.
Yeah.
And that'll probably change before WrestleMania shows, comes on. So,
And Mr. McMahon is going to be on ECW tonight.
He is. It's going to be fan appreciation night once again.
Vince is slumming.
He is slumming in the small arenas.
Again, I'm not sure what WWE, Trump's show The Apprentice, or NBC expect to derive from this. But today it wasn't much.
No.
There wasn't a big buzz. And here's this question was came up to me just a few days ago. I probably have said here on the show before, I think the general media, never mind wrestling writers or talk show hosts or anything else, who obviously have to talk about things that happen in wrestling, I just think our business in general has done enough goofy things, shocking things, stupid things, whatever the terminology,
mm-hmm.
to get mainstream publicity, that at this point it's, the mainstream press just looks it's professional wrestling again and go on about their. I mean, it'll pick up some couple lines of type here and there,
right?
A little barb on a news show, but In general, it's just, okay. It's kind of like the old story, Little Boy Cry Wolf, where they finally found it wasn't a wolf, then they just stopped paying attention, you know?
Absolutely.
But, well, you know, and then you go right down the road to Orlando where they're doing a thing with the baseball players to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a clever idea would be to put on Top Flight wrestling matches to get attention. I don't know. I mean, hey.
They're always going to pull some kind of publicity stuff.
Well, you know,
or try to get some celebrity.
But see, I think there's, I don't know. We had in Knoxville one time, we had the Platters come to the show.
Mm-hmm.
To the TV show, we introduced them. We didn't ask them to drop their pants or to do anything silly.
They didn't get beat up?
No. We didn't ask them to do that either. I've seen Tab Hunter, the movie star, at matches in Memphis, Liberace at the TV taping in Indianapolis years ago. Jay North, who played Dennis the Menace on TV, was a wrestling fan. On and on, you know, but it wasn't that you didn't get, and you got a little rub from that. But again, when you start, you and I had this discussion. You think that for some reason Donald Trump sitting in one corner and Vince sitting in the other corner is going to make well, now if it's going to be Mania, it's not even going to be $40. It's going to be $50. Am I right? Or $45? Or
probably they're going to have to.
It's a higher price. But anyway, I just don't. And here I could be wrong. As Dennis Miller used to say, that's just my opinion, but I could be wrong. I don't see the demographic that watched The Apprentice, or that I don't know how. Is there such a thing as a Donald Trump fan? I mean, I don't really. When I say it, I don't know. I mean, you know, I know all about the guy and who he is, but
all the guests on the
even
Apprentice.
Walk could have touched him when I was at Trump Plaza one time.
All the contestants on the Apprentice, they're all Donald Trump fans.
Okay, so there's how many of those?
Young professionals or whatever.
No, but how many of them are there, Doc?
I don't know, but how many tried out?
Well, I didn't ask you how many tried out. I asked you how many contestants are there.
I don't really know because I don't watch the show.
Well, see, I don't either.
To be honest. It's like
let's say there's 50, so that's 50 buys, okay?
Right.
But the point is, I think it's an older demographic. Well, you know, or young professionals that might watch. I don't know. I don't watch shows. I remember the first season catching it a few times. It just wasn't my thing. But I just don't see anybody plopping down between 40 and 50 bucks to watch Donald sit in a corner or yell at Vince.
Right. And I don't know, but this isn't the first time Donald Trump would be at WrestleMania, if I'm
well, I
not
know
mistaken.
That because they well, and they've done run shows at in you know at Trump Plaza.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, and there is legitimately has been a business relationship, if nothing else, between Vince and Trump. But I'm told that this is to hype, you know, NBC thinks this is going to hype Trump's ratings. I don't see it really doing much for anybody. Again, it comes back to my analogy earlier with the, you know, little boy cried wolf.
Mm-hmm.
With Tyson, you got an edge that maybe him and Austin are going to go to war, or he's going to throw punches at this guy or something. But you don't look at Trump as a fighter. He's not going. If he doesn't want to fight Rosie, he sure don't want to fight Pence. I don't think.
Right.
You know, but I mean, again, I just don't. I don't see it.
Personally, I'd rather see Ace Steele as Donald Trump in the
opposite corner. When my friend Ace gets on here, we're going to try to get you past that. It's like Terry Taylor and the Red Rooster. I love Terry to death, and I don't call him Rooster.
Right.
And I'll never call Ace Donald. So whatever. I mean, it's a paycheck. But no, I mean, again, it comes back to the whole. Well, what did Federline do?
Got beat up a lot.
Well, no. I mean, in terms
for the ratings.
Yes.
A tiny spike. For the first time, and then nothing.
Okay. So that's my point.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And again, we've had celebrities at WrestleManias, and I think when the Manias were first, well, our business is in a stale period, a down period right now, but it's not that curiosity factor.
Right.
That, you know, well, you remember when they had I mentioned Liberace and Lord knows who else, you know, they had on the different, you know, pay-per-views. Or let's go back, you know, to Cyndi Lauper, for God's sakes, and that whole thing. But then it was a curiosity factor, and that's no longer there. you know, and the wrestling is not that hot right now. So
yeah, and they wore it out back then, I think.
Well, I don't know if you wore it out back then, but you know, and then there's TNA, where Abyss shot his father 3 times in the back, and he was in a coma and recovered from that miraculously from the coma.
Mm-hmm.
And
just like on The Sopranos.
I'm not even going into that, brother. I'm not even getting it. No, and I will make this comment, just what I said to you the other day. I think in 2007, the general base of wrestling fans are, now, you 40 years ago, you might have sold this to the public. But today, because the fan base wasn't, I mean, they might have thought, but they didn't know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that wrestling was a show, was a work. Today, that's not a question, or at least not if you've been out from under the rock for the last 20 years. And so to use something as cornball as that, and I don't know how else to say it, is just, I think, a waste of time because nobody's buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think a clever idea would might be to try 2 athletes in competition for a prize, a belt or money or, you know.
A girl.
No, God, no! Come on, Doc.
I'm just
you. I. If I can get you a job writing for one of the 2 big companies, I'd like to, because then you could make it as stupid as you like. Okay.
Okay.
No. Is okay. Okay. Let's just see now. They just the last UFC pay-per-view drew the biggest numbers, the biggest boxing / MMA / pro wrestling pay-per-view buy rate in history.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, were there any bare breasts? Were there gay marriages, Katie Vicks, anybody shoot their father?
No.
Okay. Then try to sober up and understand where I'm coming from here.
I am, but I'm just saying.
But you're just saying.
Let me just throw this out there, and then you can, like,
I can shoot it down. Okay.
Okay. When you have 2 guys fighting each other, you want to base it off some sort of semblance of reality. Am I correct?
Yeah.
8 times probably out of 10, when 2 guys get in a fight, what is it over? A girl.
But I don't know. There's a couple guys who are going to war in Miami this Sunday in the Super Bowl that has nothing to do with females.
Sure.
It's called the Super Bowl. It's called a win. Well, that's their world title. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. Did Rex Grossman pinch Peyton Manning's girlfriend on the butt or something?
No.
Did I miss something here?
No.
Okay. Just curious. And I believe they do this every year, right?
Yes.
And there's never been any sexual overtones.
Except for the cheerleaders, no.
No. The correct answer to that question for those who are listening is no. There have never been any sexual overtones.
You know, I have to give you a hard time.
And then, of course, the World Series. I don't think, or the NBA championships, or the Sweet 16 with NCAA basketball. No, none that I know of. So I think possibly, Doc, I don't know, and I think I just made this point. I think it missed you again. I'm going to have you drug tested. I swear to God I am. UFC just set the pay-per-view buy rate record
right. For
boxing / MMA / pro wrestling pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And with no sexual overtones,
right.
No gay marriages. None of the above.
Right.
And no celebrity sitting ringside.
Right.
Okay. So, I think the point is that, well, anyway, I'm beating my head against the wall. I do this sometimes with trainees. I tend to think, okay, this room might as well be empty because I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, but if I just agreed with you, like, every time,
You do disagree with me most of the time.
I know. It's for show.
See,
somebody out there might be thinking, like, the stupid question I'm saying, and you're explaining it now.
Okay, thank
you,
Doc.
You know, this is why. It's no animosity towards you personally.
I know, Doc. I know. If they just had Divas Gone Wild and strip poker, you would be happy. I know. and that's the good thing about the current crop of fans. They're pretty easily satisfied.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's again, I go back to Trump. I don't see the value of him in Mania. I see, you know, building to something. God, I can't think Kali and Hogan.
Oh, my God. Whew,
that's, man. Now, I go from talking about Undertaker and Michaels, and you know, or to that, and it's, wow. It's like Cadillacs to beat up old pickup trucks.
We just covered the spectrum, I think.
Huh?
We just covered the spectrum of talent.
Yes, or lack thereof.
From top to bottom there.
Yeah. I just don't, you know, I first of all, if I were Hogan and with the hip replacement, knee replacement, at his age, to let that Cali even get in the same ring with me, it is a dangerous proposition, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but they don't do things that are too dangerous when it's those two, because
there won't be a lot of dangerous things done that match.
Right.
But no, I'm just saying that Cali is not the most graceful, agile athlete that I've ever seen.
Right.
And, of course, I'm talking about this from a wrestler's perspective, so
right.
I'll try not to expect you to understand.
Hey, that was cheap.
Why?
That was uncalled for.
Oh, well, no. You were trying to figure out why it would be all right for Kali to stumble and bumble around the ring over a man who's got a plastic hip or a titanium hip or whatever the hell it is and a plastic knee.
Yeah, well, there's always the, you know, there's always the
but
risk
I did
that
hear that
taking.
Hogan's going to have a grill, his own, well, not George Foreman grill, obviously, but the Hulk, Ultimate Hulk grill or something.
Really? I haven't even heard
yeah,
about
that's,
this.
Couple companies who, I think they put out the Jack LaLanne juicer or something, who supposedly sold 300 million units.
Yeah, I want one of those, too.
Well, my wife ordered one, and sometime this century it may show up. I don't know. I mean, seriously, no, she ordered this back early December.
They're busy building it, probably.
Well, piece by piece, I'm guessing.
Right.
hand forming the screws that hold the damn thing together. I don't know.
I got some horrible news this weekend, Les.
What's that?
CBS canceled Armed and Famous.
Yeah, but VH1 is running I think Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Running the episode that should be airing, I think, is it tomorrow night?
Yes.
Is not going to. But
right.
You can catch it on VH1 this weekend.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's Saturday or Sunday.
It's on Saturday, beginning at 5
and,
o'clock.
Yeah, my wife wasn't too much. And when I say it was a little different. I thought sort of fascinating to me was that LaToya Jackson, who everyone, and myself included, going into this, looked at it as like a kind of an airhead or a flake, really came together with this thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Ozzy Osbourne's kid was on the money. Well, everybody, I thought, you know, manned up, as the saying goes, and, you know, did a good job. It was that made it kind of interesting. You know, now I hear the police department in Muncie got a lot of flack because allowing these people out there, but
right.
I also kind of get the feeling they must have sent them to a, I mean, they were kind of picking and choosing. They didn't send him into any murders, you know, or
gunfire.
I mean, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, the show numbers fell, and so they canceled it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what they expected up against American Idol.
Well, I don't expect anything to draw up against Idol.
I know.
Kind of things.
They should have just left it there. See, that's why I love cable. Like VH1, even if the numbers are horrible, they'll still air the entire season. You know?
Well, you know, I have to go to Fox, MySpace, Fox. I'm trying to see the end of Vanished, which I got hooked on. The numbers weren't good, and I'm into episode 13, but yet it's not the finish, and I keep, you know, and I don't know if they're ever going to put the finish up and find where the, you know, the guy's wife finally, she was kidnapped. They found out what, you know, you get all the little stories about her, and now we find out the senator's father was involved or knew who she was and what her background was, blah, blah, blah. And now they've left me hanging. It kind of upsets me.
I know.
You know?
Finish it out at least.
Yeah, well, this you know, while we're on that subject, television's been kind of goofy this year. I mean, they they'll run a couple new shows, then they go to 2 or 3 weeks of reruns, and then another couple good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's a pain in the butt, honestly.
To keep up, yeah.
Well, yeah, because you know you now Lost has been off for what, 2 months?
I think so.
And that's
yes.
That's been a big number show, but yet they filled in with something else, and I think it comes back the end of this month or something. I don't know. But anyway.
In some other news, Triple H's rehab is going well, according to reports.
Well, that's good. That's good.
They say that he's already 1 month ahead of schedule. They did an interview with him over at WWE.com last week.
Uh-huh.
He revealed how bad his quad injury was and how different it was from last time. But he mentions he's going to be on two crutches for at least 3 more weeks. And you can check out that that article over at WWE.com.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing you don't want to do is rush too much and realize this. It may be a lesser injury, but he's 5 years older,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And so anyway, it's not like he's got to rush back to pay the bills. I don't think we're going to have to do a benefit show for Hunter.
No.
I'm not sure now, but no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I say that because I'd hate to see him rush back and have something happen, you know.
Right. He's still got a fair amount of time left.
Well, you know, I think, you know, again, like I say, he's 5 years older, even if the injury is less than it was last time.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to think with things like that, that once, if you remember with the Patriot, or maybe you don't, he kept having triceps problems, and they kept, seemed to reoccur more frequently, which is one of the reasons he ended up getting out of the business.
Yeah.
So... go ahead.
Another thing, as far as pay-per-views go this year, WWE has now announced that they are going to do another ECW December to Dismember event this year.
Uh-huh.
Which was, they were kind of wondering if that was going to happen or not because of the horrible numbers it drew last year.
Well, were you, would you have been upset if they said no?
No.
No.
No,
I was kind of surprised that you know, but there again, I don't know what the commitment is, and we gotta wonder with a sci-fi channel as the numbers drop, what's you know, and they seem to be you know, I mean, well, any semblance of thinking about ECW from the past is just silly because for the
right.
most part, you know, those guys have been taking a back seat,
mm-hmm.
so.
And also, there's going to be another one-night stand. It's going to be June 10th in New York, of course, at the Hammerstein Ballroom. The ECW December to Dismember.
My question is, how can it be the a one-night stand?
I know.
When it's not.
Third night stand, maybe.
Well.
But still, I mean, you know, they have ECW on every week now.
Yeah. Do you remember the controversial running back for the Dallas? No, you wouldn't. You're too young. Dwayne Thomas. And he was when Dallas in the Super Bowl. This guy was kind of you know his own planet, but he was a hell of a football player. He just didn't have a lot of time for the press and so forth. But anyway, you know, as during the build up to Super Bowl week, everybody has to do their promos and so that sort of stuff. And speaking of which, today I heard some girl from either Hollywood Access Hollywood or something asking Brian Urlacher how he got those big biceps and that tight butt. I thought, oh, man, now there's a question for Super Bowl week. Anyway,
right.
Dwayne Thomas was asked by a reporter how it felt to play in the ultimate game.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwayne says, if it's the ultimate game, then why will they play it again next year?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, so this won't be the ultimate, you know. That's like one-night stand. It's not.
I know, they could at least rename these.
Well, that will be two then. Well, you know, see, but that's I think that's the same thing with Legends conventions, and I won't say that you can't take a Legends convention and move it around the country and get a mileage out of it. I just think running in the same locale over and over at some point it'll
peter out.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I can go back and look at. You know, old basketball stars or something and say, yeah, one time or maybe a couple, but you can only get their autograph so many times or have your picture taken with them so many times.
Right. That kind of strategy would only work for Star Trek, I think.
Well, I'm not a Trekkie, so I don't quite understand, you know. But I know that's, yeah, those people are kind of locked into that.
All right.
But I don't know. I don't know.
According to the Wrestling Observer, Don West announced on his Nashville radio show on Thursday that TNA is going to indeed have a two-hour Spike TV special on February 12th. Which is a couple of weeks from now. It's going to be the same night that Monday Night Raw is preempted due to the Westminster Dog Show.
Uh-huh.
West said that the two-hour show is going to feature five matches from recent pay-per-views, so there's not going to be any new content as of the latest word. TNA and Spike TV are still considering options on what to call the special, and don't have a start time yet, but you can probably assume it's going to be during Raw's time slot.
Well, yeah, that would seem to make sense if you're going to do it on Monday night. But here again, I don't know. I'm not producing a thing, and nobody's asking my opinion. You know, but I can see running some of the better matches but I mean, I could see having some newer ones too. I mean, a combination of the two.
Yeah.
You know, here's what we've done in the past that you've missed if you haven't been watching our show. Here's what we're going to be doing in the future. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're obviously going to get your audience, because the hard-nosed TNA fans think, well, this is their chance to blow the numbers right out of the box and all that. Although that's the other thing too. Moving around a lot is not the best thing in the world.
No, and last week they had it on Wednesday, and I don't think anybody remembered.
Yeah, I knew it was on, but I honestly waited and taped it on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
DVR'd on Saturday night.
I watched it on
Wednesday.
And then
frustrated myself by watching it on Sunday.
I had actually forgot completely until maybe a few hours before. And, you know, that's kind of telling.
Here's my point. And, you know, you've heard me talk about this throwing Three Stooges segment in the clips in the middle of my Law and Order. It messes with my mental my mindset for one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I do know who wrote the TNA show, but I don't know who pieces it together in terms of segments. But when we come out of a serious segment like Jeremy Borash taking Eric Young to buy prophylactics, going straight to
Sting and Abyss.
Sting getting burnt and hauled off in an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do I actually? Which mood do you want me in there?
Right.
It's
one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
In too short of a time.
Well, and it's so, you know, and again, you want me to laugh, and Eric Young is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean he sincerely is. But it's, you know me, when he looks into the camera and says to Jeremy, I think somebody's going to see us, or I'm afraid somebody, I'm thinking, yeah, silly, you know, big goofy black thing staring at you in the face about 2 feet from you is a video camera. So, yeah, there's going to be a couple million people checking you out, and we see the brand name on the packaging. And I don't know if they're a sponsor now or what.
Who knows?
Talk about product placement. placement. Yeah, there's the key word. Speaking of which, this past week, I don't know if it's full moon or what, Teddy Hart doing a promo off the wall about Wrestling Society X and the New Hart Foundation, and how he doesn't have to work, he can stay home and stay in his king's bed with
his
beautiful
girlfriend
and live off his inheritance. What?
You heard about that?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
And then, of course, we were talking about Angle's, statements that Vince is having a heart attack and one thing and another. And so, I'm thinking, what? I don't know, man. It's
getting real personal and ugly out there.
Well, it's just silly. I mean, it is. Part of the Hart interview was about Jersey All-Pro and the fact that, whoever booked Necro Butcher and Teddy Hart is pouring water and oil in the same
exactly
bucket. It just, I mean, that's You know, and that's one of the problems, I think, right now with the business in general is the people writing this stuff don't have, I mean, you know, the bookers of old or some current minds that aren't being utilized, like by the name of Cornette and Heyman, you know, they look at guys' weaknesses and strengths and play to the strengths and try to stay away from the weaknesses, right? If you yourself can't carry a match, then they're going to put you with somebody who can. You know, et cetera, et cetera. They're not going to put a totally grounded guy with a flyer. And you see some of these matchups, you think, whoa. But anyway, the whole idea that Hart didn't want to work with Butcher or something and Jersey All-Pro, and then he made some derogatory remarks about people in the company or some of the talent in general in the locker room.
Right.
And then said, well, I guess I'll probably end up going back there. And I thought, well, I wouldn't.
Right.
I mean, you know, legitimately, you're allowed to get Pearl Harbor in the dressing room before you ever get to the ring.
It's the first time, though.
It's just bad business.
I mean, right.
You know, I don't know if these guys are just looking for notoriety, but there's got to be a better way.
It's possible that a little bit of his personality was taken from Uncle Brian Pillman.
From Uncle Brian Pillman? Why would you think that's his uncle?
Well, I mean, he's not technically his uncle, but I mean...
No, he's not. And probably, how old is Teddy? I'm thinking that, and the two may have never met.
It's possible.
But you're right. You'll rewrite history. Good. Vincent K. Young.
I say Uncle Brian Pillman because, of course, Brian Pillman was a friend of the Hart family. But what the
okay.
point of what? The statement, and you take me so literally, but the point of the statement was that...
I'm messing with you now.
He might be...
It's my turn.
It is. You got me flustered now.
Good.
On with some more TNA stuff. I don't want to give away a lot of stuff from the tapings last night.
Especially the fact that Abyss's father came out of the coma after being shot in the back three times.
Well, we all knew that was going to happen, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, a miraculous recovery, and I'm glad.
In a match not taped for TV, the Riggs brothers, Johnny and Jason Riggs, defeated former WWE stars, the Heartbreakers.
Yeah.
Antonio Thomas and Romeo Roselli.
Jason and Johnny are two kids that spent time with me.
Mm-hmm.
They actually started with Scott Casey in Vegas, and then they came and spent almost a year here. I worked with them out there a couple times, and Johnny came to the last week-long invitational camp that Dr. Tom and Kevin Kelly and I ran here when I was still with WWE. They have, in fact, they've had several shots with him.
Right, that could be good news for all four of them.
It could be.
And also, I don't want to give away anything away, but Conan was there at the tapings last night, 2 weeks after his hip surgery.
Why would you not want to give that away?
In case somebody didn't want to know. Some people like to be surprised. Why is that funny?
Well, no, I had read that the chances are he'd probably be there.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, you know, there's a small chance he might have not have been, but...
Okay.
Lizzie Valentine sent me this.
She did.
She said that this was reported in the Wrestling Observer that ECW show tonight is going to be major with Bobby Lashley versus Test in the main event. I don't see how that's major, but Vince McMahon is going to be appearing on the show, of course. And it says, as silly as it sounds, there's huge talk in Houston right now regarding Wrestling Society X and their debut tonight. And tonight's show is being basically booked to combat the debut of Wrestling Society X tonight.
Okay.
Hopefully get people to tune in to one or the other.
Well, you know what? I would say, here again, I'm not a young wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
If I were, I think I would probably tune in to Wrestling Society X simply, and here again, not to condemn ECW, but I've seen, you know, if I've seen Lashley and Test on the pay-per-view Sunday night, or if I saw them last week in the house show,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and I just saw Vince last night, and I see Vince every week. So, you know, I just
right. What's
I don't think that's. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why Vince is going to be on the show. I'm not sure what's going to happen, so I don't know. But I'm just saying I don't think it's maybe it's directly at that. I don't know. You know,
it doesn't sound like good counter programming to me.
But I think if you did see Wrestling Society X on Friday, or if you didn't and you see it tonight, I don't think one show will make history. Will make a determination whether it's going to be on forever and ever, or what.
Absolutely.
I just really don't.
Good point. We're going to take a break in a minute. We've got James Gutman.
Should we get since we're loaded tonight? We got. James coming up, then we got Ace, then we got Kevin. Should we get this Rumble, who won the picks in the Rumble out of the way? Or
sure, let's do that.
Okay.
I do have a question for you from the chat room first.
Okay.
They are asking Les, whatever happened to Cowboy Bob Ellis, and where is he now?
My God, I don't know if I guess he's still alive. As far as I know, he raises horses in Arizona, I think.
Oh.
I haven't seen Cowboy Bob Ellis in a long time. He transcends. I bought tickets to see Bob Ellis, and then I actually never worked with him. But the last time I remember seeing him at a show was in the 70s, early 70s, I think, over in San Juan. But anyway, I believe that he has horses, and I believe he's lives in Arizona.
Oh, that's cool. Can you tell me a little bit about him? Because I don't know who he is.
Well, he was a wasn't a great worker, but he was a great baby face.
Mm-hmm.
And around here, he had a lot of matches with the Sheik, the original Sheik, Eddie Fairhot, Sabu's uncle.
Right.
And so, I mean, he was a big baby face around a lot of places. Loved the Blades. No, he was, I mean, he was.
He enjoyed that.
Yeah. He got a lot of juice. You know, drew a lot of money in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I couldn't tell you in terms of distinguishing, probably 6 feet, 6'1", ruggedly handsome, I suppose you'd say. But, you know, wore the cowboy gimmick, had the cowboy boots turned into wrestling boots, and, you know, came with a hat and did the whole thing. And like I say, the Barnett Doyle office here out of Indianapolis, Detroit, pushed him hard and you know, several territories he was big in.
Excellent. Let's move on right now to the Royal Rumble. Find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game. As you know, myself and Les, we put our predictions out on every match before each pay-per-view, and then we get to gloat over who wins next time and got the most predictions right. This time it's the Royal Rumble. Of course, in the main event, we'll go backwards on this. The Undertaker won the Royal Rumble match. We didn't really pick a winner. Too many people. But I had believe if I had said last week if anybody was going to win, it was going to be Shawn Michaels. That proved me pretty much wrong. But,
okay.
I the whole time, during that whole 10 minutes that the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels were in the ring, I'm like, this is in San Antonio. Shawn's going to win. It's just a matter of when. Big surprise having the Undertaker come out.
You know, from last night, real quick, Michaels and Cena, you know, I think Shawn's case, I mean, he doesn't take the crazy bumps he used to, but then he doesn't need to. He's a seasoned veteran, and he knows how to pace a match and call a match, and I could see him and Cena having a heck of a match.
That would, yeah, that was something that I was looking
if
for.
If that were to come up, and if the Undertaker ends up going with Batista or... and I tend to think Batista before Lashley. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. Also, the WWE champion John Cena defeated Umaga in that Last Man Standing match, another one that that we said was a pretty good match, even though it was hardcore. I know that's not really your cup of tea, Les.
Well, it wasn't the kind of hardcore that Last Man Standing is. That's a stipulation. It wasn't. I didn't see barbed wire baseball bats or
right.
Or exploding. Anything.
They get too ridiculous.
Yeah. So.
Also, you. Well, we both went with John Cena on that one, of course.
Okay.
We didn't figure that John Cena was going to lose that championship. Also, for the SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship, it was Batista defeating Mr. Kennedy. I believe we both said last week Batista was going to win. That Mr. Kennedy. It just wasn't really main event material at this point. And, you know, when you're the champion, you have to carry the the brand name on your back, and I think it was a little too early. So we both got that one. ECW World Championship, Bobby Lashley defeated Test by countout, which was kind of odd, but Bobby Lashley does keep the belt, and we both picked Bobby Lashley to win. And that just left the last one, the tag team match between the Hardys, Matt and Jeff, versus Eminem, and the Hardys came out on top on this one. We had both went with the Hardys initially. But at the end, I said, this is way too predictable. Something is going to happen. Eminem is going to win. I changed my mind. I should not have changed my mind, Les. Never second-guess yourself.
Otherwise, we almost had a Broadway, the old slang expression for a draw was a Broadway.
And not only a draw, but we would have both had them all right.
Yeah. And so I ended up winning by one.
That's right. So Les won the pay-per-view.
That's right.
Prediction game.
I never win this thing. But anyway.
This could be your year. You've
could it be financially my year rather than prediction-wise?
Yeah, I was like,
everyone's, please send me blank checks. Here's the address.
And to see Les in 10 more years. I had a great career, and I trained all these great wrestlers, but 2007, that was my year in the pay-per-view prediction game, boy.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the
I'm
one
going
thing
to the
I'll...
Hall of Fame as a pay-per-view predictor. Okay.
Right, that's one thing I'll never forget. It's the proudest moment of my career.
It was the biggest time of my life.
We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got a Hot Topic correspondent, James Gutman from World Wrestling Insanity. He's going to be with us talking about the Hot Topic of the Week. Also on the way, interview with Ace Steele, indie superstar. He's going to be with us. And also, Kevin Kleinrock is going to give us his last minute. Maybe he'll tell us something that we don't
know.
His
last minute what?
He's going to give us the last minute, I would say, pitch.
Okay.
On Wrestling Society X, which is going to debut tonight on MTV.
Exactly. 1/2 hour after we go off the air Eastern Standard.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We will be right back, guys. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Welcome back to Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you on the line right now for the hot topic of the week from World Wrestling Insanity, the website and also the book. It's James Gutman. James, I want to thank you for being back with us at Wrestling Weekly.
Not a problem, guys. Always a pleasure to be on here with you and Les, and great to be back, guys.
Before we start with the hot topic of the Doc, James and I want to have our websites at half-mast because we've lost our dearly departed Dr. Tom Pritchard back to WWE. I don't have him to help me with co-training each BWT camps, and James had him every Tuesday with Doc on his site. So yeah. A moment of silence for us, please, while we're grieving, and then we can move on. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I like to tell people that that it was Vince McMahon doing the draft lottery, except instead of going to SmackDown or Raw, he took Tom from our site. So I think we're going to get maybe Shannon Moore, a little bastard, hopefully, in the in the coming weeks. I don't know.
For the next 24 hours, only the top of our websites will be able to be seen. That's half-mast.
Well, we're doing the same. As I was telling you guys before, we're introducing four new shows to the club, clubwwi.com, to take over for Tom, kind of on a rotating basis, and they've all been former WWE names, and people keep asking me who they are, and I keep saying, I'm not telling anyone until we do each one, because with my luck, next thing you know, Vince McMahon's going to sign them all back again and, you know, keep signing the industry. So get a show with me, and you can get a job. Go nuts.
Right.
Hey.
So who are they?
Oh, we're waiting on Little Bastard and Shannon Moore. No, they're good names. They've all been in WWE in the last 5 years, former champions up and down. So we're going to be pulling them out as the weeks go by.
Sweet. Sounds good. And what's that website?
ClubWWI.com. We have all of our unedited interviews. In fact, today I just interviewed Harley Race for an hour and 10 minutes. We talked about, God, everything. So,
wow.
Yeah, DDP's on there, Kevin Nash. We got tons of things to check out.
Excellent.
Cool. Great.
So what's the hot topic this week, James?
I would imagine the hot topic would be the one moment of Raw that didn't make me cry, I guess. Is that unmanly to say? The main event of Raw last night, I think, would be the hot topic, which is the Rockers of Thuganomics. Shawn Michaels and John Cena taking the tag titles from Edge and Orton in a pretty good main event. That made a lot of sense in the grand scheme of things.
Very surprising, though, but I have seen, you know, this sort of happen before where the champion is, he's the world champion, and then he has the tag team titles, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it makes, you know what it is? It makes sense, too, in the purpose of where a lot of people think they're going and where the best possible option is for them to go. A lot of people are saying Fatal 4-Way, WrestleMania, Orton versus Edge versus Michaels versus Cena. And I think if that's the rationale and that's what they're going into the main event with, then it makes more sense for Edge and Orton to not have the belt so they can kind of blame each other for losing it, breeding dissension there. And then Michaels and Cena have that uneasy partnership thing, and that's always easy to sell. So it makes sense to put the belts where they are now if that's where they want to go with it.
Let me ask you a question, is get your opinion on this. I know I had heard that same theory earlier today, and to me, you could do all the goofy gimmicks and situations throughout the card, but I think, especially WrestleMania, the main event should be deadly serious, wrestler A versus wrestler B, for a title. And a three-way or a four-way just doesn't seem to fit there.
See, I agree with you on that, and I felt that way, actually, the few times that they've done it. I think in this case, though, what you're saying in a perfect promotion that's been booked and everything has really gone well, makes sense, but with the way WWE, I think, has set their table, especially for the coming year, it seems like the only viable alternative. Otherwise, you're going to get either with these four, a rehash. Maybe Orton against Cena might be somewhat new, but Orton, they've always been hot and cold on pushing him, and I think at this point, there's really no two that you could put there, so it's more or less, I won't say the company's fault, because obviously, Triple H got injured or whatnot, but there's really nothing else to do right now. Anything else that I would consider worth buying for a main event of WrestleMania?
Yeah, there's not a lot of depth, you're right, as we've been down that road before. And how many weeks are we away? What, five, four?
62 days, whatever that is. They have the big picture on their website. I don't know what that is, though. I guess maybe like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, but so actually, to thank Cena, and I had said to Doc earlier, I thought, Cena and Michaels, because Sean is good at setting the pace of a match, and I think he could take Cena to a heck of a match if it came to that.
Oh, yeah, well, I think the match would be great. I think the concern that might pop up with them is that John Cena has finally been getting somewhat good reactions again, and
yeah.
I think that the worry might be to put him in there with a baby face, especially a guy like Shawn Michaels, who, Shawn Michaels can club a baby seal to death and still be the most over face they have on him. I can just bring him right out to the ring and just beat him. And I think if you put him in there with Cena, I think John Cena is going to be kind of take a step backwards, because I think the fans will turn on him quicker than anyone expects.
Yeah, yeah. And again, your opinion here, but I've told you, you mentioned about Michaels and it being the babyface. Shawn Michaels, if you are an independent wrestler trying to make it somewhere, here is a guy to watch all the little subtleties that make a top performer. Not big goofy bumps, not huge muscles, but just the timing issues of when to sell, when to come back, facial expressions, body language. Michaels has it all.
Yeah, well, Shawn Michaels is one of those few guys, I think, that no matter what position you put him in, you could put him in a goofy skit, and he's going to shine in the skit. You could put him in a promo, and he's going to shine in the promo. And you could put him in the ring, and he'll shine in the ring. And so often, especially nowadays, there's some guys who are skilled in one and not in another and not in another one. But Shawn is really the complete package, and I think that, as you said, a lot of the guys on the independent scene, instead of taking away all the moonsaults and the high spots that they see, they should really settle the small things. That's what it's all really about.
Yeah, and I think you just bridged something too with him, is the fact that it's that he sort of underplays, because you tend to take him more seriously because he's not an over the top in body language or in his promos.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Yeah, he goes out there, and even when he does things that he's doing for laughs, there's something about his promos where there's no desperation to it. And I think sometimes a lot of the promos when they try to do comedy, and a lot of the skits where they try to do comedy, it always kind of comes off desperate with some people. And I think with Shawn, he can go out there and he could read a line or recite a promo that has some kind of weird jokes thrown in there, and he just makes it work. And I can't really explain it. I don't know how I would explain it to somebody who's never seen him before, but there's just something about him. He's got a charisma about him where he can go out there and recite the phone book and people will be captivated.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Somebody brought this up in the chat room, and I just want to throw it out there just for kicks. Taker versus Cena versus Batista versus Lashley at Mania.
I was actually thinking about not that. I mean, that's an interesting possibility. I was thinking today that the worry that I had was that WWE, in an effort to kind of just mix things up and show everybody that you can't predict things, we're going to pull Undertaker out of his thing with Batista and put him in there with the four-way or with Michaels, and then switch the other one over. I don't know. Are they giving Lashley that much credit at this point? Or, is the ECW title even something that they would consider putting in a main event match like that at WrestleMania, do you guys think?
I don't know that it's that important, do you?
No, I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't see that happening. not at this point.
And I don't see that particular combination of people of having any sort of a match that's going to be a barn burner, as they say. Anyway.
Plus, it would dilute the undercard.
Would? No, I think it would. I think it just would be a flat main event. Well, here's the point.
We have three champions in the same match.
You got Lashley and Batista in the same match. You gotta throw that one out there.
And that's where I was coming from. Well, okay. What was you said, Doc? You said Cena, Lashley, Batista, and Undertaker.
Yes.
Okay. Then Taker has to lead because you got three guys that have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And again, looking at it from a wrestler's perspective, I wouldn't want to put him in that position. I just, you need, in the other case, if you go with the foursome we're talking about now, Edge is an experienced leader, as is Shawn. And, I mean, Randy kind of falls in the middle, I think, and John. And when I say that those listening, everybody, there are guys who draw money. There are guys who are mechanically sound workers that just aren't leaders. That's not something you teach. That's something that somebody has a feel for, and it comes over time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think another thing, too, is that Cena has been improving lately, and that's one of the things I wanted to give him credit for. I don't know, some people are giving him credit for it, too, especially at the Royal Rumble. I thought his match against Umaga was one of his best, and I think he's starting to finally figure out what his niche is in the ring as far as what his strengths are. And to put him in there with Batista and Lashley would be really tough for him at Mania, but I mean, to go in there with, as you said, Edge and Michaels and even Orton to an extent, I think that John has a real opportunity to shine and take a part in a match that's probably going to steal the show.
Yeah, I agree with you. I said earlier too, I thought Umaga spent a year here with me and John just down the road in OVW, but I had a chance to work with him. I think they both probably have maybe the best match I've ever seen either one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like everything about it. I mean, right down to the I just like the idea of, I mean, number one, when you take apart the ring, the fact that they do it so, not so often, it happens few and far between, and I think it just represents a bigger picture in the wrestling industry because, if you're going to take the ring apart every week and use it as a weapon, it loses its luster, but because they never do it, it really meant something, and kind of, I think almost everything in the industry can be broken down like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think Undertaker and Michaels' last 8 or 10 minutes, whatever it was, in the Rumble itself, and Umaga and Cena, that was... Now, the tag opener was good, but the two things we're just talking about, I think, really stole the show.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's going to be really tricky to see what's going to be coming up at WrestleMania as far as the main event, things like that. But, we're going to keep staying tuned. James, I want to thank you for being on this week for Hot Topic. We will, of course, see you again in a few weeks. Check them out, guys, at worldwrestlinginsanity.com.
And, Doc, you're going to have to check in the site to find out who the four guys that are going to be doing.
We'll have one up tomorrow, so double check, and we'll have the announcement probably tomorrow night after about 9 o'clock.
Okay.
All right, and
Club WWY.
I've got the book ordered, and once I get into it, I'm going to drive you crazy asking a question.
Oh, absolutely. I'm totally ready for you. Let's throw them all at me. And, no, absolutely. I hope you like it, man.
I'm sure I will, James. And it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Great. Thanks, guys. It's been great being on.
All right, man.
Bye-bye. Take care. James Gutman here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our first guest of the evening, Ace Steele, is going to be here on the show. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
fast-paced news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
The tenant in apartment A is brushing with Brand X toothpaste, which is designed to better help whiten teeth and remove tartar buildup. While the tenant in apartment B
is brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, now with radioactive mutagen. It's the only toothpaste designed to turn you into a giant gelatinous blob with powerful laser beam vision. 4 out of 5 mad scientists agree you'll be an unstoppable killing machine with healthier teeth and gums if you use Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste.
Oh my God, it's destroying the city!
Looks like someone's been brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, another fine product of Scumco.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our first guest of the evening, and a great indie superstar. Travels all over the country. Done a lot of things. You might have seen him a couple of weeks ago on TV, some other show. I can't remember the name of it right now. Ace Steele is on the program, guys. Ace, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Not a problem. What's shaking, gentlemen? How are you?
It is you, brother, and he is one member of the Second City Saints.
Mm.
And he is a Noah star. Oh. He is a gym owner in Eldon, Missouri. A homeowner and a personal friend, and Ace, I'm going to tell you, Doc keeps saying, and Donald Trump, and I said, I won't let my friend Terry Taylor be harnessed with the Red Rooster, and I won't let my friend Ace Steele be harnessed with Donald Trump.
Thank you.
You brought more to the business than that. I mean, it's, you know what, the crazy thing is, I sit here and I watched that thing, and I said, damn, that guy looks familiar. And it took till it was almost over. I said, oh, my God, that's Ace. With a big head of hair, I didn't know you. I just have to say that.
The funny thing is I wasn't wearing a wig. No one gets that. Nobody gets that. They think it was a wig, and you haven't seen my coif, man. I got quite a coif going on.
All
just
right.
A little blow drying, you know, works wonders.
Yes. A little Alberto VO5.
I heard that. And here's something that Doc, I bet, I don't even know if you know, Ace started CM Punk in the business.
I didn't know that. I did know that.
Yes, you did know that.
Yes, I did.
Yes, he did.
And Dave Prazak.
And Dave Prazak.
I don't know how Prazak came in. Prazak just evolved into the business. He was an embryo that just popped out of a tape somewhere. Somebody traded him, and there he was.
Right. Absolutely.
When I first met Ace, it was with he and CM. And Colt came down and worked some shots for HWA, and Ace is, we've done some seminars together in Eldon. We've gone to the Kmart in Eldon together.
Indeed we have.
That's right, in Vegas. You know, I'm going to tell a story here, Doc, the funny thing is that Ace did the Donald Trump to the whoever that girl was that honestly looked like Rosie O'Donnell. But here's the funny thing. When Ace proposed to his wife, then his fiance was, what was it, 3 years ago, Ace, in Vegas, or two?
It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, okay.
It was 2005.
We were out there for Cauliflower Alley, and Ace took her to a nice restaurant and had dinner and proposed to her there. Now, here's the funny thing. Rosie O'Donnell was in that restaurant, and the waitress told Rosie in the course of waiting on both Ace and his wife and Rosie that this young man over there had just proposed to his fiancée, And Rosie sent you a bottle of champagne. Am I correct?
That is correct. A bottle of Dom Perignon. And believe me, that is a shoot. That is a story. I'm amazed at your memory, Mr. Thatcher. That is unbelievable.
I'm old, but I'm not dead yet.
Ace, I can't believe you. Don't you feel bad now?
Not at all.
Absolutely not.
And then when I saw that, I thought, oh, my God, you talk about irony.
I mean,
I'm sure that Rosie didn't recognize you with the Alberto VO5 anyway.
No, not at all.
She'll send him a bill for the bottle of Don Perignon.
Yeah, now I'm getting that.
Yeah.
So it gets me, and Les had brought it up before that you had trained CM Punk. Mm-hmm. You have trained people that are now trainers themselves at this point.
That's correct. It's very ironic that has happened. Punk was the first to become a trainer, running the Ring of Honor school, and then I believe Eric Priest is training people now. I don't know what Cabana does, run some seminars. I'm not sure if he's quite into the whole training thing. He's traveling quite a bit himself, but yeah. How funny is that?
That's quite amazing. Where'd you get your start at?
I started in Chicago, at a little place up there that, I'll give them the bump, Windy City Wrestling. Started up there, it was pretty cool at the time because back then, like I used to watch it on a regular channel, you know, and they had the Battle of the Bam Bams, Bigelow against Gordy, they had quite the talent running through. I think Heyman was booking for them at one point, the guy who runs it, Sam DeCero, he just, you know, ended up going through people, you know, here and there, and they had a spot on the sports channel proper, so it was a pretty cool thing, and we'd just watch it and thought, well, this is the place to go, so that's where I started, right out of high school.
Excellent. Chicago represent, by the way.
Woo!
Woo! I had to throw that in there. But, yeah, and you've done some work with IWA Mid-South. You had some great matches over there.
I did. Actually, it was on the heels of Punk and Cabana going in there. Prazak had for years been trying to get me down there, and I thought, that's hardcore wrestling. I want nothing to do with that. Well, little did I know that at the time, you know, and that's funny that Les met all of us when we went down to HWA, but at the time, because Ian had burned a massive bridge with Jim Cornette and Les himself, you know, it was kind of taboo for us to do such a thing, to go to HWA. So it was, you know, there was just a little heated rivalry that, you know, I am not a part of, but because I had worked for Ian at that point, you know, just made me
Well, you know, there was a time, and it may still be that way, had you have worked for IWA. In fact, I know this for a fact, and I won't mention the name because I wouldn't embarrass the guy, but a kid that I had trained, and I told him, I said, if you work for Ian, you will not be going to OVW. And this same guy called me, and he said, listen, he said, I'm making a shot here, and I'm flying out of Louisville, and I've got to be down there on Wednesday night. You think maybe I could do the TV? And now the funny thing was, we were doing a show with Cornette. Cornette was going to be at the show, and I said, you know what? I'll just let you ask Jimmy. I knew the answer, but I wanted Jimmy to tell him so I wasn't the bad guy because I had warned him about this anyway. And so, I took him in. I said, Jim, he's got something he wants to ask you. So he ran it by Jimmy, and Jimmy just looked. He said, you know what? Danny wouldn't even let you in the building. That was the end of it.
Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, Ian, while we're talking about that, we'll move on to something else. John has a tendency of ruffling people's feathers and then wondering why they get upset with him.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a bit.
Yeah. The Last Dance Louisville Gardens, I was down there, and when, you know, OVW ran the show there before they were going to tear the Louisville Gardens down. And they were doing the whole historical thing, and they had guys in WWE. And here's the wild thing. They said Ian and a couple of his guys are out front on the sidewalk passing out IWA Mid-South flyers. And you know who they sent out to stop this? Lesnar and Turkey. And I thought, well, John will be a grease spot on the sidewalk in Louisville. But the IWA Mid-South guy, John and his boys were gone before Lesnar Turkey got out there.
Lucky
those
for
are
them.
Two guys I don't want to meet in any alley anytime soon.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much.
You know, a lot of people, and they're talking about the whole Donald Trump thing because it just happened. I seriously thought you're going to get saddled with this. It'll probably be old news in a couple weeks. But this is not the first time you've been to WWE. You've had dark matches out there.
Oh yeah, I've done quite a bit of stuff here and there. Nothing spectacular.
You've had your hair cut by Eugene.
I did have that. That was special.
That was very special. And it was supposed to be, what was the whole basis around that appearance? Was that he was doing a demonstration?
Yeah, he was demonstrating. They picked two marks out of the crowd, and I was, of course, the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some pretty long surfer hair at the time, and time for a change. And the premise was that they're setting up a match between him and Bischoff, his uncle, quote-unquote uncle, and they were going to show the possible things that would happen at, you know, the end of the match. You could end up as a maid or wearing a dress or I don't know what it was. And I was the guy in the chair that would get his hair cut. And the gist of it all was he started to cut my hair, and he actually couldn't get through all the crap that I had in my hair. I had too much product in there. So when I got to the back, they cut. Man, I had such an ugly businessman's haircut. It was gross. I could not wait to get home to get that fixed. But they, it culminated with me taking a kick from Bischoff, you know, just a sidekick. Nothing spectacular.
I do remember that. Ring of Honor was also another place that you spent a lot of time, especially recently.
Yeah.
What's it like out there?
I love the locker room. It's a great locker room. Everybody wants to work and, you know, work hard and, you know, great atmosphere, you know, young guys. Nowadays, it's pretty fast-paced, sometimes a little too fast for this old guy. But, you know, I keep up here and there, you know. Sometimes you get I've gotten burned out with it before. A couple years ago when the Saints thing was going on, I was doing, like, I got to be booked on every show. You know, I was, you know, working the whole Saints gimmick, and we were, you know, just, I was, when I moved down here to the Elvin, I was flying out of St. Louis, and it's 2.5 hours or so to the St. Louis airport, and I was gone like every other weekend. It was ridiculous. And I just got, you know, I just got burnt out. When I used to live 10 minutes from O'Hare Airport, it was a lot easier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it's hard to keep that momentum up. You've got to have a real drive in you to keep up with the work ethic and, you know, work rate. And a lot of guys, you know, you get banged up night after night. You know, it's hard working that style a lot. I would compare it to Japan, except that in Japan we get to have house shows. When you're on a house show, everyone just works nice and easy. It's not, you know, the red light's not on the camera, so you don't have to destroy yourself or the guy that you're working, you know. So, but I love it. It's a great atmosphere. I love the guys there. You know, everybody's super cool, great locker room. Gabe Sapolsky, great guy to work for. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, it's kind of a throwback, or it's a combination of more of what our business was in the States 30 years ago and what Japan is now, right?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, definitely. Good observation there. Of course you had an observation like that. It's definitely, you've got, you know, a classic match that's going to go 45 minutes with Bryan Danielson and someone else, and then you're going to get the mix of, you know, a high-flying, you know, Davey Richards, a little bit of comedy of Colt Cabana. You've got everything on one card. You know, just over the years, everything you're looking for, you could pretty much find, you know, on almost any show. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Speaking of the Eugene appearance on WWE and the Ring of Honor, when you went back to Ring of Honor, and I think you know what I'm getting at, when you went back to Ring of Honor right after that, somebody had mentioned on the commentary on Ring of Honor, it looks like Ace Steele had his hair cut by a retard. Were you aware of that?
I don't know if I heard that somewhere. I'm not sure. I don't know if I heard that. I know that when I first see, and my impression is that the Philly fans just hate the crap out of me. They think I suck. And we had a show. We had an 8-man, which was just a travesty of a match because we didn't have time to put it together. And Steamboat was out there with us, and they just crapped all over me when I walked out and were giving me stuff all about the haircut, and I just ignored it, went on playing, you know, stupid babyface, and but that was like the worst thing I had heard, so I'm like, well, Philly just hates me, I'm done here.
Wow.
I'll tell you somebody else he upset too, Doc, is my wife. He kept me out all night in Vegas, and that's when she first met him, and he was my out. You know, I went up to my room like at 5 a.m. or something like that.
See, Les, that was the exact first time I met you. It was because Harley introduced me to you.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, we're out till I decided to have a bender that night.
Yeah.
And go out and see the Black Label Society and came back, and you and I were in a conversation until 4 in the morning, and
Yeah, and see, he thought, well, I'll just drink this old man under the table, and I was still up and going when he was ready to go to bed. But anyway, that was every year we go to Vegas, and Al would say, well, I know you and Ace will be staying out all night.
See, I gave you an out all the way around. She just expects it.
Yes. Shilpa in the chat room wants to know, what was your favorite Ring of Honor match to watch and to participate in?
Favorite Ring of Honor match to watch. I really actually enjoyed Nigel and Danielson on DVD from the UK tour that they had last year. I thought that was just an awesome match. Pretty hard hitting, you know, Nigel's head just getting destroyed.
God, yes.
I don't think Nigel expected to get whacked so hard, but I mean, that was great. Great effort by both. That was phenomenal. Favorite match to participate in? Wow, I've had a lot of fun ones. I mean, I think probably the Chicago Street Fight was very significant for us because it was, although it was a brawl and it had gimmicks in it, we worked the gimmicks right. It just seemed to work well. Steamboat's compliment at the end was he was all excited watching it. He's like, you guys put on something great. I knew you guys were when you were putting this together, you know, everything that was going on, and it just felt awesome. You know, it was a good time.
Another question for the chat room. Pillman9MM says, what is the story about Ace getting CM Punk into the WWE?
I got him into the WWE?
This is what he's saying. I guess this is a rumor that's going around.
I don't believe I exactly got him in there. He got himself in by working his butt off.
Right. Hey, can you get me a job too, Ace?
I know.
Yeah, sure. I'm just dealing them out, you know.
Okay, cool.
StevieRay76 says, how does it feel to be considered to be a part of, quote, the worst segment in WWE history?
It feels beautiful. It feels beautiful.
Because you got paid.
I got paid, and it was Vince's segment. It's what he wanted to do, and it came off well.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was the important thing of the night.
And the VO5 was provided for you.
It was.
You know what? Let me say this, Doc, to those and that's – you got to think first, last, and always. This is a business.
Right.
And if they ask him to go out and put over the little bastard in 5, then if he's smart, he'll say, I can get him over in 4.
Right.
And that's what this is all about. I mean, it comes down to that when you're behind the scenes. You know, when you're sitting out there, it's a whole different thing. I sent him an email and said, how does it feel to be booed for all the wrong reasons?
Right. That's a better question.
Well, you know, but again, that's the bottom line. When he went back through past the grill position, if they said, okay, man, you did what we needed done, that's the bottom line right there.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You had mentioned before that you felt that the fans in Philly hate you.
Yeah, it felt that way.
can you bring us back to the match that you had in December with Tank Tolan?
Oh, I thought that was well, the first night, this is the weirdest thing. I mean, you know, fans, I mean, I'm in my hometown, which usually I get a bit of a pop because I'm from there, and I'm just a fun guy. I'm there for personality. Mm-hmm. I'm there for a good time match. We ran a tag match, which wasn't, I mean, granted there was a couple of bushwhacker spots, but we were the popcorn match. We were there, you know, provide a little fun while people are getting back to their seats if they're paying attention. And this crowd all night long, except for one match, you know, with, you know, Chris Daniels and a few other guys that they popped for, all night long, even up to, through a cage match with Samoa Joe and Brian Danielson, with a couple of heavy-hitting spots, sat on their hands and did nothing.
Mm.
So the second night going in, you know, setting the pace, we were the opener. I thought we had a good match, never working each other. Everything flowed. I think he's a real good worker, good hand. I mean, I thought we did fine, and the crowd was with us. That was the nice thing. It was like night and day, complete night and day between crowds. You would think that, you know, I was the guy in Philly getting yelled at about my haircut, you know, the first night. The second night, it was like, woo, you know, homecoming, and everybody was, they were yay booing shots back and forth, and it was, I had a good time. I thought the guy was really good to work with.
You know, the thing about Philly, though, you know, the old saying there is they boo Santa Claus in Philly, so, I mean, it's.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's true. That's very true. They're very fickle out there. Professor VNS says, how much coffee do you consume to get in your crazy Ace gimmick?
Oh, are you kidding me? I drink like a pot a day.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I wake up at 5 a.m. to get to the gym by 6, and, you know, coffee's a-flowing, man. That's a shoot.
let me throw a plug in here. He was mentioned it. We've mentioned the gym, and Ace bought the weight room that's right next door to Harley's Training Center, and I mean he helps Harley out too. Mm-hmm. But he is done the weight room over, not with curtains or really curtains or anything, but he runs a good gym. If you're in Eldon, Missouri, have you changed? What's the name on the front now?
It's Sweat Gym. If you're in the Lake of the Ozarks, Jeff City area, come on down, have a workout. Talk
yeah,
to
exactly.
me. I'll share some wrestling stories of Les Thatcher and his late night escapades.
Or you can go next door and let Harley throw a left hand at you and knock you back out of Jeff City.
Exactly.
Yeah, this whole drinking under the table story. I need to find out exactly, you know, how much Les can consume one day.
No, you know what? I don't even know. We were having some Coors Lights and just talking about the business.
Right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, gosh, we have to run. I'm running a training camp. Harley and I and Scott Casey the next morning at 10 a.m. and it's 4 o'clock, so or five or whatever time. And I thought, well, I better get a little sleep here. But
yeah, I also like to thank Les for the next day, because if you worked the show of the Cauliflower Alley show that night, you had to participate in the camp in some way, shape, or form. And on the greatest hangover I had had to that point, probably that year, Les called me out and said, Ace, are you going to get in the ring? I'm like, I don't have my gear. And my gear showed up because Cody Hawk showed up with my stuff. Well, Ace Steel, were you gracious with, you know, across the room. So I had to get in the ring with the most terrible hangover ever.
Wow.
And wrestle 2 3-minute matches. It was certainly a proving ground. I'm like, damn it, I'm going to make it happen, but I'm not happy about this.
Well, what a trooper. It proved that he was. He's a veteran. Talk about paying your dues. I tell you what, I have seen, and I won't name any names, I've seen a few guys come in from some bad hangovers and perform very admirably. So Ace could fit right in with the old guys, believe me.
Chris the Crusher says, when you're playing a heel and you get a lot of booze and you get a lot of heat, does that make you want to perform better?
Oh, definitely. Well, you're doing your job, you know. Most certainly. If the crowd's doing nothing, it hurts pretty bad.
Right. He's asking specifically during your Trump match.
During the Trump match? Oh!
If that helped you perform better.
To some degree. I mean, the bottom line was it was for the cameras, mm-hmm. not quite for those people. And that's when you do television, you got to think, you know, the camera's on my face. You know, I'm not paying, you know, you're paying attention to the crowd. I knew all along what was going on. I heard them. But I had a job to do. I mean, you can't just stop dead in the middle, you know, during headlights or just cut the thing short. It would, you know.
Had you seen the girl before, Ace? Had you ever seen her work?
No, had no idea.
Yeah.
Had no idea. She said she worked a little bit, but hadn't worked in maybe a year or more.
Oh,
so
wow.
I had no idea of her, you know, like what her capabilities were, really.
Right.
My initial thoughts were that she looked quite a bit like Rosie, and you looked nothing like Donald.
Oh, definitely. I was, you know... Yeah, that's exactly the first thing I thought. I'm like, well, I'm just here for, you know, to make this thing happen as much as I can.
Right.
You know?
But it was still, you know, it still got done.
Oh, yeah.
One last question. We got to get out of here and get our next guest on, but there's lots of rumors going around. You knew this question was coming. There's lots of rumors going around on the Internet that this might have led to a deal with WWE for you.
Oh, rumors are rumors. Rumors are rumors. People just like to put stuff out there. It was a great time doing what I did, and you never know what's around the corner. You never know what, you know, makes them open their eyes and, you know, want to see an old guy do something. You know, I'm not that old.
You and I are about the same age.
Oh, really?
Yes, and we're both from the Chicago area, so we probably, I don't know, played basketball together one day.
I don't play basketball, so I highly doubt that.
Let me say this about my friend Ace. He is a unique individual in this particular era of the independent wrestlers because he can bridge the gap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can, and I'm going to bring him out of the closet here and say that he had told me this. He much would rather sit down and watch a Brad Armstrong Arn Anderson match. And the reason he mentioned those two guys is because they're both so technically sound, but then he can also do whatever's necessary on the sports entertainment end too. So that, sure, you know, here's a guy who can go both ways, as it were, and in this day and age, that's a good thing, because that kept him working in Japan, and it also made him Donald Trump on WWE.
Les, I appreciate your words, but the coming out of the closet and working, going both ways, like the wording of your statements, is it, I'm a married man. Let me say this.
Let me verify that he is hetero.
Yes. I wore pink trunks and a boa as a gimmick once upon a time. But no, you know what? The coolest thing, I'll just end with this, is that I met Brad Armstrong at those tapings where I, like, the second night at SmackDown.
Right.
And I was the biggest mark of the world. Hogan could have walked in, and it wouldn't have fazed me. I saw Brad Armstrong, and I went right to him. I was waiting for it so I could congratulate him, just tell him, like, man, I'm such a mark. You were, like, one of the best workers I've ever seen.
You're right.
He looked at me like I was crazy, and I'm like, dude, you're one of the best guys ever. And I told him it was an honor just to meet and work with his dad at TNA when I did that. I mean, he was, like, just a class act of a family, I think they are.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Brad is one, and I tell him the same thing. He said, oh, Uncle Les, but he's technically one of the best technical wrestlers I've seen in my life.
Yep,
he certainly is.
H, no matter what's in the future for you, I wish you the best in everything.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. Good talking to you, Les.
Hey, man, I look forward to seeing you. I don't know where you're not. I can't. I'm not going to Vegas this year. You may not either. Well, you're a family man, a businessman now. We can't be hanging out at 4 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Oh, we just got to pick our spots. That's all.
Hey, tell Harley and BJ and the brother-in-law and all the boys I said hello, and Ace, look forward to seeing you sometime real soon.
Thank you, sir. I'll tell him hello.
All right, my friend.
Ace Steele, guys, here on Wrestling Weekly. Appreciate him coming on. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, our featured guest is going to be here. It's going to be the last. We're going to hear about Wrestling Society X before the big debut tonight, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on MTV. It's going to be a good one. Les Thatcher and Doc Young with you. We'll be right back after this with our last guest.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest. He is the creator and the producer of Wrestling Society X, Kevin Kleinrock. Kevin, thanks for being on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, we know you're on your way. You're getting ready to go to the big debut party out there in California for Wrestling Society X. So we'll try to keep it short.
Doc,
no problem.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Obviously, no problem.
Let me establish here that Kevin is not a new kid on the block in terms of professional wrestling. We first made contact, what year was it, Kevin?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be early to mid-90s.
Yeah. I was going to say, when I hadn't started HWA a couple years. Kevin was booking or writing, whatever you want to call it, whatever the terminology is, wants to be, for a small independent in Southern California. And we started corresponding, and that's how we first hooked up. And so he's been around the wrestling business for quite some time. And talk about the great American success story here, young guy. You've got married, had a family, and now producing for a major television network. You must feel pretty good about all this.
I do. It's amazing, and yes, definitely thinking back and looking back at those initial emails that we exchanged. I don't quite think that I thought it would end up exactly this way. I have to say.
That's great. It's like the American success story, I assume. But, I mean, you're not really pinning, like, a lot of hopes on tonight's not make or break, is it?
Well, in so much as all eyes are on us. You know, I think that obviously a good success tonight would definitely, I think, do a lot to help ensure the future of Wrestling Society X. But this is a very new genre for MTV. I mean, you can't really compare this to them having Sunday Night Heat on, because Sunday Night Heat was a show that was the WWE handed them, that they didn't really have a hand in at all. It was an hour. It was on Sundays. It was at 7 p.m. And so now you're taking a show that has been developed with MTV, and it's being placed in their primetime lineup as the anchor for their new Tuesday night that they hope is going to attract male eyeballs to the network, in addition to all their normal audience, which is primarily female. And so it's a very, very open-ended question as to, you know, what tonight will tell us and what tonight will mean.
Absolutely. Now, we have, you know, all the live listeners right now. We have a bunch of people in our chat room. Some of them may be on the fence about what to watch tonight. We're going to put you in the hot seat. This is your last pitch to get them.
Absolutely.
What can we expect from Wrestling Society X tonight in the big debut?
Well, I think there's two things. There's what to expect from Wrestling Society X in general, and then there's what to expect tonight. I was doing an interview last weekend with Eric Gargiulio, and he made a point that I thought would clarify things for me very much. He had said something to me about the fact that he thought that what we were doing was for a niche audience, the MTV audience. And I said, you know what, I think it's exactly the opposite. I think that what WWE and certainly what TNA does is for a very niche audience. It is for the current pro wrestling fan. And what we're trying to do with Wrestling Society X is to create a show that is going to be exciting and entertaining and different for the current wrestling fan, but also something that's going to bring non-wrestling fans or people who were wrestling fans but are not happy with the state of affairs these days on television and bring them to Wrestling Society X. And so if you've seen any of the reviews from the airings this past weekend, I think a lot of people are understanding and getting that out the gate what we did was provide a product completely different than anything else on television. Somebody worded it to me and said, you know, TNA tries to separate themselves and say they are an alternative to WWE, but really when you look at it sometimes, they come off more like they're trying to be the WWE. And from the minute our show starts and from the introduction of the show, the animated open on, you get a very quick understanding and appreciation that this is something different. And it's very fast-paced. It's a half-hour show. It goes by in a blink of an eye, and it's literally action-packed. I don't know any other way to say it. We don't have time in 30 minutes not to have every moment mean something. And tonight, I could not be more proud than the match that we're starting off with tonight. We've got two guys who have developed an incredible reputation over the past couple of years on the independent circuit, Matt Sydal and Jack Evans. Matt Sydal with Lizzie Valentine, who was formerly with XPW and is well known on the East Coast circuit as Valentina, in his corner. And it's a match that does not stop But it's not getting in there and just throwing some moves out there. It's a very well-told story within 3.5 minutes. And I want to say groundbreaking. A lot of people's comments on the message boards over the past weekend were, we've never seen these moves on television. We've never seen moves like this. We've never seen a match like that. And I was so proud to have that be our first match. And then the other big match that we have on the show tonight is a 10-man WSX. My letters again. A 10-man WSX Rumble, and it is done sort of Royal Rumble style. You've got 10 guys. They drew numbers, and they're separated coming to the ring in intervals. But the ring is surrounded by tables. It's surrounded by a box of live electric wires. It's surrounded by 18 feet of exploding steel cage. And the goal is not just to survive, but there are two contracts hanging above the ring, and the two men who can grab those contracts will meet week two to determine the first WSX champion, and it's going to be one of the most insane 20 minutes of television. It's definitely different than anything else out there.
You know what? And I know I did watch Friday, and I realized that Eric was mentioned being for the the MTV demographic, and I know I certainly don't fit in there. In fact, you have to multiply their age by about 1,000 to begin with. But the thing that jumped off the out to me in that first match with Jack and Seidel was the spot where Lizzie grabbed Jack, his leg. He pulled her into the ring and then used her as a springboard to hit the spot on Matt. And I thought, yeah, that's cool. And, I'm not a big flip-flop and fly guy, and I'm not a slice-and-dice guy, but that particular spot, I said, yeah, I could have done that 30 years ago.
Go ahead, sorry.
That particular spot works, but I mean, and a lot of people find, what's he talking about? But I mean, from an insider looking at it, and somebody's been in business as many years as I have, I'm a big Matt Seidel fan anyway. And when Kevin and I were talking, Doc, a while back, I said with Jack Evans, listen, I mean, this guy's a hell of an acrobat or an athlete or whatever you want to call him. But the first time, I always want to take him to the Mercantile Wrestling Store and dress him like a wrestler. That's old school. I know it is. But, and I think the two guys who end up with the contracts, but both of these guys are solid. I mean, You can't say anything about them, but they're solid performers.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one thing that I was most proud of going into our set of television tapings that we did was the roster that we had assembled. We worked really hard and put together this roster kind of secretly all the way from back in February when we filmed the pilot, because we filmed the pilot in February. We filmed the rest of the season in November. And so there were all those months in there, nearly a year, where it was like day to day trying to make sure that we still had this roster in place and that some of our guys weren't going to get scooped up or taken elsewhere and that they weren't going to end up not being happy somewhere else, because I think that everybody and people, people definitely had a question in their mind going into this. Guys that didn't work the pilot, who were like, okay, we hear that MTV is doing a wrestling show. We hear it's going to be big. We hear that, this is going to be the next big thing. But how many times have you heard that in your career? How many times a year does the next big thing come along and somebody's promoting it as that? And that's why we really weren't out there talking about WSX until recently, because we wanted to let the product speak for itself. We wanted people to see it because it really is revolutionary, and I really do honestly believe that it is going to be the evolution of sports entertainment and the evolution of the pro wrestling business, both in terms of in-ring style and in terms of creating a crossover product that's going to bring a lot of new eyeballs into the business, which is only good for everybody. Every independent, it's good for the WWE and TNA. Because if you've got a few million viewers who watch MTV, but under normal circumstances would never think about watching WWE or TNA, and they watch our program, and they're being intrigued and entertained by this 30-minute wrestling show, well, the next thing they're going to do is go and try to see what other wrestling is out there, you know, and obviously that's going to lead them to finding WWE and maybe finding TNA. So I really think that this is hopefully going to be not just something good for WSX and not just something good for MTV and for our wrestlers, but I really truly hope that this is something good for the entire industry. And Houston Curtis, who is the CEO of Big Vision and the co-creator of the program with me and the executive producer, he's a guy who was born and raised watching wrestling, and he watched Wrestling at the Chase, and he grew up watching World Class, and you've got people behind this product that believe in the professional wrestling industry and who want to see the industry succeed and grow.
You know, I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, Kevin, too, and you and I discussed this in a conversation, is that the scope of MTV, I know when my school was on the True Life series.
Absolutely.
I mean, my God, I had kids that couldn't even been born, you know, weren't even a gleam in their parents' eye when I was, you're Les Thatcher. Yeah. And how would you know that? Well, I saw, you know. But, I mean, the thing is, Doc, too, it's not only running on the MTV major channel, it's running on their MTV2, and at some point it's going to run on every MTV outlet across the world. Am I right, Kevin?
That's what we're hoping for. I know that we've heard rumblings of airings coming up in the future in other countries. And it's just such a wonderful opportunity because you look at where the WWE is, and you know they're international, and they've got I think it's about 10 to 12 countries that they broadcast into right now on a regular basis. But MTV Networks is the largest network in the entire world. They have networks in every major country around the world, and we are embracing and looking forward to the opportunity, hopefully, because I was discussing this with somebody today. You know, a normal MTV show, even something that's a hit here, something like, let's say, Yo Mama, for example, it's done really well for them here. I just don't know that if you took that show into Russia or India and even translated it into that native language,
that's true,
if it was going to really make sense, if it was really going to be as entertaining as it is here. But we all know and understand that that's one of the greatest things about professional wrestling because it is, you know, it's been said before and it sounds kind of cheesy, but it really is a universal language. You get in the ring and you ply your craft and you've got these storylines and you've got these angles that really translate, I think, worldwide. And we really look forward to that opportunity to show this product around the world.
Now you've got me thinking about Your Mama in France. It's like bonjour, tu madre. But anyway, you have some, I'm a big indie guy. I follow the indies a lot, and you have some great guys from all around the country. Could you tell us about some of the roster?
Yeah, you know, obviously we've got the guys that the majority, I think, of rabid internet fans and probably people following this radio show have heard of. We've got Jack Evans, Matt Sydal, Teddy Hart, and we've got guys that may not be quite as well known, guys who, you know, have a great reputation on the East Coast, like Ruckus from CZW, or guys who have been faring well out here on the West Coast, guys like the Human Tornado and Scorpio Sky, guys like Disco Machine and Joey Ryan. And we really scouted all over the United States and all over the world too. You know, we brought in two of the best wrestlers in Japan from Dragon Gate, Yoshino and Horiguchi, and we brought in obviously Vampiro from Mexico, and we are going to be looking to potentially bring in some other international stars as we move forward. And there really is a lot of great talent out there, and I think that a lot of guys who are just as good as the guys, if not better than the guys, that are well-known nationally, are really going to blossom and get a real shot at exposure here. And yeah, I honestly think that with the fact that we're on MTV, you're going to find very quickly that guys like the Human Tornado, guys like Scorpio Sky, guys like Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black, that they are going to be bigger household names than the majority of wrestlers out there very quickly. I think that, you know, 3 months from now, if you ask the average person on the street if they knew who Umaga, or if they know who, I don't know, even guys like Kip James are, they're going to definitely know more of who the Human Tornado and Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black and Scorpio Sky are, because MTV really these days defines pop culture, and it's a great opportunity for these wrestlers and for our program.
Now go ahead.
Also, Kevin, as this thing evolves, there is on down the line the fact that Wrestling Society X may actually do some tours, right?
I think that obviously the thoughts of all of the where do you go from here have been discussed at least, in the throw it out there on the table in the boardroom level. House shows and touring and pay-per-views and video games. And so it's all been discussed, but our focus at this point has really just been the launch of the television show and the launch of putting the best television product together, getting it out there, and hoping that the world likes what they see, and from there being able to expand. But, we obviously embrace the opportunity. I would love to be able to take this show on the road and, bring it into towns. I think Wrestling Society X can be a big hit at colleges, and I think that that's really a demographic there that will work for the show, hopefully. So looking forward to doing all that stuff down the road, but really we've been focused pretty much on putting the best show on screen right now and taking it from there.
Well, Kevin Kleinrock, I know you got to get going to the big premiere. You've got that coming up in a couple hours on the West Coast, but here on the East Coast, for the fans, it's Wrestling Society X, guys, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on MTV. That's a half an hour after we go off the air, which is in a few minutes.
And I wanted to tell you, Kevin, too, Lizzie was on with us last week. Sweet kid. I mean, she was I wasn't sure. I'd never talked to her. Great interview. And I mentioned my old friend Cody Michaels, and I said, she said, yeah, but, he doesn't like women in wrestling. And he's going to be on with us next week. I'm going to bust his chops.
I do. I have to tell you, Cody and I discussed that quote today, and I believe he does have something to say about that next week.
Oh, we're going to have to. This is going to be a good one, guys, next week.
All right, guys.
Kevin, a pleasure, and the best of luck to you, and look forward to having you on again sometime. Really.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Absolutely. Best of luck, Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin Kleinrock, guys, the producer and creator of Wrestling Society X. Check it out on MTV tonight, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. That's going to wrap things up for this week. Don't forget, next week, Cody Michaels of Wrestling Society X is going to be here to answer to his hatred of women. No, I'm teasing. But, yeah, Cody Michaels is going to be here next week. And, of course, we've got D'Lo Brown on the show next week.
Who has joined George Steinbrenner in owning a sports franchise.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to have Percy Pringle / Paul Bearer on at some point on down the road. And again, if you would like to join us March the 1st at Gulf South Training Center in Mobile, Percy and I are doing a one evening seminar. You can go to golfsouthwrestling.com, contact Percy. We're going to start at 7:00 at Central Standard Time, March the 1st. And hey, we've had a great show, Doc.
Absolutely.
And we're going in a half hour, we're going to tune in Wrestling Society X.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
All right, guys, we'll see you guys next week. Check out our website, wrestlingweekly.com, for all the future guest information. We'll see you next week, guys.
You think you know me?